Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. On a Tuesday to Monday night football games, live in Los Angeles, this is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we're on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. 1 hour from now, for the first time this year, I have my Herd hierarchy, and I honestly believe all 10 teams feel like playoff teams. This year we get 14. You know, it's first couple of weeks, you're not quite sure. I feel like all the teams I have seen so far in my Herd hierarchy are all playoff teams, even teams that historically do not get to the playoffs. It's great to have you in. Joy Taylor, how are you?
I'm great. Double football last night.
It was nice. Wife's out of town for a while, so no coasters. had a Corona.
Are you leaving the cupboard doors open, cabinet doors open?
DoorDash. Just had a big old fat burger and just enjoyed the heck out of myself watching football last night.
It's a decent night.
We got baseball playoffs, Heat, NBA, Lakers tonight, so it's a great, great Tuesday night of sports. Let me start with this. You know, in the Brady-Belichick divorce, we talked a lot about there who's going to win, who's going to win. But the truth is this morning, Brady and the Buccaneers are really good. And Belichick, when he has Cam, they're really good. They both won. They both deserve credit for the dynasty. Shaq and Kobe. They both won without each other. They won more with each other. They both deserve credit. Andy Reid in Philadelphia. Both have won Super Bowls when they broke up. Philadelphia's structure was good for Andy, and Andy was good for Kansas City and Philadelphia. You can spread it around. Generally speaking, if you have a healthy, successful relationship, both people deserve credit. Then there's those lopsided marriages. She's a winner, he's a loser. They break up, he goes down the tube, she flourishes, moves on, and marries somebody equally successful. Right now, Aaron Rodgers and Mike McCarthy's divorce, it's lopsided. Aaron looks unbelievable. He's now 17-3 without McCarthy. He's embracing Matt LaFleur. They've developed, it's called a running game. Meanwhile, in Dallas, Mike McCarthy made a horrendous choice as defensive coordinator and journeyman hack Mike Nolan. They no longer run the football, even though they have one of the best running backs, and they look disjointed. In four games, they're 1-3. The Packers are a top 3-4 NFL team. Dallas is a bottom 3 or 4 defense or worse. It has been decided. Aaron won this divorce. Last night, he didn't have two of his top 3 receivers. They had 3 running backs on the field at the same time. It was a perfect opportunity. Even Vegas thought, this is going to be close, and it wasn't. He found tight ends. They're more multiple. There's more movement. They've developed a running game. He doesn't even need his best offensive weapon, Devontae Adams, to be on the field. Aaron Rodgers this year, 13 touchdowns, no picks. And I know. It's the year of bad defense, but those are remarkable numbers. He's got his highest passer rating ever through 4 games. He has the most touchdowns through 4 games. He's been sacked the fewest times through 4 games. Everything's gotten better since McCarthy left. Protection, the running game, the multiple variable looks, the happiness of Aaron Rodgers. There's nothing else to say. It's over. And Dallas right now is a mess. They're a mess because of McCarthy's hires. What defines Dallas's offense right now? They start real slow, and they don't run the football, and Dak has to play catch-up late. That's on the coach. If you come out week after week and you start slowly, that's on the coach, not the quarterback. Dak is more than capable. I've seen Dak's career. He's had many years in which he starts quick. That was more Jason Garrett. They didn't finish well with Garrett, but they often started and had leads. This offense in Dallas is trailing, is reeling, and you're asking Dak to catch up, which is really a bad way to do it with Dallas. You should, to ensure that you give Zeke 18 to 25 carries, you should really deeply care about how you start in Dallas, because this is a team, Dallas, that could be built to hold on to leads. Pound Zeke. Dak is mobile. He can be a pain in the butt to defend if you have running plays designed for him. Instead, they're the opposite. They're always trailing, meaning you take Zeke out of games. I don't think Dak's one of the great natural throwers in the NFL, especially when you drop 7 into coverage. So it's been decided. And if you listen to Aaron Rodgers after the game, he's not shy about giving his new coach lots of credit. Listen.
Yeah, I like where we're at. I really do. I like the kind of diversity in our approach. I think, again, Matt was, really good kind of mix up tonight with the calls. Obviously, we had to do some different things without Devontae and without Allen and without Mercedes. But I thought, we had a nice plan, and then we executed really well.
Nice plan. Execution was good. Had to dial up some new stuff. We were innovative. That's just all saying, I like my new coach. That is 25 seconds of saying, I really, really like how this divorce has turned out. I upgraded, and the Cowboys did not. The question for Dallas now is, all good businesses move off problems the minute they see him. Will Dallas move off Mike Nolan quickly, not be rigid, embrace it, and try to convince themselves they got it right? Because you cannot look at Aaron Rodgers this morning. And I've been a critic of Aaron. I know he's great. I'd vote him for the Hall of Fame. I've always said I like him more than Favre. Aaron thinks I don't like him. I do, but I've been willing to be critical and been right when I've been critical. But if you're watching him now, he has taken tight ends you've never heard of. The protection's better. He's happier. And yes, you got to sometimes make your quarterback happy. It's Pete Carroll's job to make Russell Wilson feel fulfilled. It's when you get Patrick Mahomes and Lamar and Aaron and now Josh Allen and you get these young quarterbacks. Aaron's still pretty young, right? Like, you got to make sure they're happy. It's okay. You know, that doesn't mean everything is built perfectly for Aaron Rodgers, but you can't frustrate him. And when McCarthy there, he was throwing the ball away, eye rolling. Reports now he would literally take the play, roll his eyes on McCarthy. You're watching Aaron now embracing, adapting. He's challenged. Everything's better. Protection, routes, motion, multiples, running game, a total indictment of Mike McCarthy in Dallas. Let's shift to Kansas City, New England. This was not supposed to be even competitive. Sometimes your value at work, for all you young millennials, right? You're trying to find your footing. Uncle Colin's going to give you one small, tiny piece of advice. You certainly don't have to take it. I mean, it'll probably fulfill your life, but if you don't want to listen, fine. But sometimes your value at work is when you don't show up and everybody realizes, oh, crap, she's really good. She took the day off. We're not the same. Oh, my God, we really miss him. Despite Belichick's genius, a wonderful game plan against Patrick Mahomes, didn't even get officiating breaks. His genius into the toilet because of lousy quarterback play. Make no mistake, New England wins that game last night with Cam Newton. They win that football game with Cam Newton. Cam Newton's value was not playing. Now, we all knew, I admitted, it's better than I thought. But you watched that game last night, two different moments. You're like, oh, this would be a nightmare. Mahomes is on the sideline because that Belichick and that defense, those are Super Bowl teams. That's a Super Bowl coach and a Super Bowl defense. Boy, Cam took the night off. Wow, is he valuable. I mean, if you're watching that, my takeaway on that game last night, if I'm Kansas City, I don't want to play New England with Cam. I got no interest. I got no interest playing New England with Cam. Belichick in Cleveland, fired. He couldn't get the right quarterback. Pete Carroll in Seattle, 14-18 when he didn't have Russell Wilson. By the way, Kyle Shanahan is largely regarded as the genius offensive coach. Let's see his record without Jimmy Garoppolo. Oh, it's 5-21. He lost to Carson Wentz Monday at home, and he was throwing to deck chairs. Does everybody get it now? The value of quarterback. Quarterbacks can win without a superstar coach. You may not win Super Bowl. You can win. Belichick can't win in Cleveland, in New England. Unless, now you say Matt Castle. Remember, that team was 18-0 the year before. It was the most talented team in football by a mile. But you start looking around this league, and I said this with Jim Harbaugh. Everybody banged on Jim Harbaugh. Don't just judge somebody by when they leave a place if they succeed at the next place. Jim Harbaugh made Michigan football better. What happened to the Niners when he left? Capsize, man overboard. Jim Harbaugh's a good football coach. Not just because he's made Michigan significantly better, and they're back to being a 9-10-win team, and that's very good at Michigan. They're not going to beat Clemson, Alabama. They're not as good a program. They're not going to beat Ohio State. But what happened to San Francisco when he left? There you go. So I thought Cam Newton last night got himself a big fat contract. The value of Cam not going to work is it's indisputable. And by the way, when I picked the Patriots to go and joy as my witness, I said they're going to go 5-11, 6-10. You all laughed at me, and I kept saying, "You think he can win with Jarrett Stidham? You think he can win with Brian Hoyer? You just watched them last night with those guys. They had the better game plan." And then Cam came in, and I made a mistake, and I thought oil, water won't work. I'm wrong. They're both playing complementary football. But the value of Cam last night was sensational. I just sat and watched that game, and I'm like, if I'm Andy Reid, I got no interest playing New England again with Cam Newton. None. All right, coming up next, Stephen Jones, the Cowboys, son of Jerry, says, you know, we're closer than you think. I think they need to get closer to an uncomfortable truth, and they need to do it within the next 2 weeks. We'll discuss that coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Great to have you in. Peter King joins us in about 12 minutes, top of next hour. The Herd hierarchy, first time this year. All 10 teams feel like playoff teams to me without a doubt. Joy Taylor in a couple of minutes. Herd line. So I talked to a friend not long ago. His name is Peter Chernin. He's a very successful guy, done very well in his life. And I said, like, we were just talking about business, and I said, give me one nugget. I can't remember two or three. Give me one nugget if you started a business to remember. And he said, if something isn't working, move off it. Just don't fall in love with your initial idea for a business. Amazon, at one point, just sold books online. They pivoted. Netflix sold DVDs. They pivoted. Two of the fastest growing stocks in the world over the last 5 years. Like, you have an idea, you hire some people, and all of a sudden, 6 months into the business, you're like, that doesn't work. This really works. You pivot. Don't let your ego get in the way with it. Dallas Cowboys are letting their ego get in the way with it. They hired Mike Nolan, defensive coordinator. Mistake. Bad hire. They're doubling down. Stephen Jones, Jerry's son, says, we are this close to making it work.
I just think that we're not as far away as it seems, but we do have a lot of work to do, and we're very confident in this football team. In spite of what we've seen in the first four games, we really believe we've got a great head coach, a great staff, and a great group of players that'll get the job done.
There is nothing to indicate any of that is true. Hire slow and fire fast. When you see a problem, Mike Nolan needs to go. And I'm not a guy that has ever talked about firing coaches. I don't do it on this show. Brady Hoke at Michigan, I said time to fire him. That's rare. I'm not a big fire guy. I'll support Bill O'Brien later in the show. I'm not a big fire guy. I don't want to see. I think chaos is the number one problem with bad businesses. Like, you keep firing people after a while. Jets, Cleveland Browns, the good candidates don't want to be part of your operation. But hire slow. Take your time to hire, but fire fast if you've hired poorly. Mike Nolan's a mess. What does Jerry need to see? What does Mike McCarthy, Stephen Jones need to see? Somebody dropped 50? The Cleveland Browns got the edge every time they wanted it Sunday. DeMarcus Ware, after the game, said, quote, we're soft, unquote. DeMarcus Lawrence, excuse me. Jalen Smith is ranked 44th best linebacker in the NFL, according to Pro Football Focus. You really think he's the 44th most talented linebacker, or it's the schemes? Multiple blown coverages, players complaining it's too complicated, a lack of effort on that reverse. It's like players quit playing. What do you need to see? You got to make a move on this, because you're going to talk yourself into Mike Nolan over the next 3 weeks, because you play the Giants' dreadful offense, Arizona's penalty-plagued team and weaker defense, and Washington's anemic offense. And you're going to talk yourself into, oh, he really slowed the Giants in Washington down. Then it gets tougher again. This defense against Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, Derek Carr, Russell Wilson, this is bad. Hire slowly, fire quickly if you've made a mistake. Pivot quickly, get the right guy. And I'm not a talk show host that ever talks about firing people. It is bad. You don't have to be a football coach to see poorly designed schemes. You don't have to be a football coach to go, wow, Andy Reid's clever. You know, Bill Belichick really knows his defense. You don't have to be a whiz. I don't have to understand math, but if you go to the chalkboard and you're a genius, I can figure out within 90 seconds, that guy knows his math. This coach, Mike Nolan, is outdated and this is not working. Jerry Jones is doubling down on it.
Conversation or thoughts about Mike Nolan's job status?
No. If you think about it at this juncture, that's not something that you would go to. We're getting the benefit of a coach that has a lot of experience. He has answers there. Can they be answers that we all get on the page with? That's the issue. That's the challenge of how to execute it when it's in live action. But we've got somebody here that can tell you where we're apt, where we're inapt, where we need changes as well as anybody on the planet. And Mike.
All right, good luck with that. Peter King around the corner, Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, despite starting 1-3, Ryan Fitzpatrick is still going to be the starter in Miami.
Saw that.
It's not Tua time just yet. Talk has been building, but it is time for the rookie to take over the job. But the Dolphins announced today that Fitzpatrick will be the starter for the Week 5 matchup with the 49ers. He is putting up, through the first 4 weeks, 69% completion percentage, 994 yards, 4 touchdowns, 5 interceptions.
That's always been the thing with him, Joy. He can be magical, but he throws a lot of picks. And Seattle had no pass rush, and he still, they settled for field goals for 3.5 hours.
Well, isn't that the thing about magic? It's not all the time.
That's right.
Right? It's spectacular, but it's not every weekend. You love magic shows.
I go to magic shows 6 times a year.
A 6 times a year. That's an appropriate amount.
Right.
But if you're going to magic shows every night,
yeah, I mean,
it wouldn't be magical.
If you're making an SUV disappear in front of me 5 times a week, I'm not in, it's not in, it's just.
You're like, oh, that's what you do. You make, you make SUVs disappear.
That's right.
Yeah, that's not what happens. So 4 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. Here's what's interesting, though. Their bye week isn't until week 11.
That's
so
too
I don't
late.
Remember when you said that Tua would come in.
Well, I didn't know Justin Herbert was going to light the world up.
Well,
so.
Yeah.
So I do think there's pressure outside. I mean, we knew this was a rebuilding year, but Buffalo and New England are better than we thought. So are you just telling your fans that have a lot of options in Miami, you know, we're just throw this year away? Because, like, to me, Miami and L.A. are markets with a lot of distractions.
Yeah.
You want to engage fans. Tua would immediately engage Dolphin fans, get them watching TV, buying merchandise, into the program. And, by the way, he's had 4 or 5 games. I've seen Herbert and Joe Burrow that have lit this league up. Again, by the way, Burrow did it. Herbert did it against Tampa Bay and Todd Bowles' defense.
Yeah. And had 5 minutes to start before the Super Bowl winning Chiefs.
Yeah.
And Burrow looked good week one. I think that the clocks didn't start with Burrow, but I think it started with Herbert because Herbert was taken after Tua and we weren't even expecting to see him at all this year. But the other thing about when you're mentioning the market, the Marlins are in the playoffs, the Miami Heat are in the NBA Finals, and the Hurricanes are playing amazing.
Yeah,
you so, want to like you go. They have a big matchup with Clemson this weekend. Like you have a little bit of this, of that in the market as well. But they're at the 49ers, then at the Broncos, then they have the Chargers and the Rams at home, then at the Cardinals, and then the Jets. So
I think we talked about Rams Chargers is a good time. You come back home.
Oh yeah, so you have 2 weeks at home.
Neither right now the Chargers and the Rams don't have great pass rushes, so you'd be a little bit more comfortable. I really don't think Miami's that far off. They've been in a lot of games. They were close with Buffalo and close with Seattle. They got a lot of the cake. They don't have the icing. They need somebody to be able to be special at quarterback.
They need special, but I also don't think that they necessarily need to win in as much as they need to see what Tua is.
That's right.
Like, it's time to see what Tua is. So Giancarlo Stanton had a signature postseason moment for the Yankees last night. He hit a grand slam in the top of the ninth to give New York a huge 9-3 lead and clinch game one over the Tampa Bay Rays.
And the Rays have given the Yankees a lot of problems this year and through the year. Tampa Bay's always been, as John Goulet is shaking his head, everybody points to the Red Sox, but the Rays this year were 8-2 against the Yankees. They had their number.
Well, Clint Frazier and Aaron Judge also homered in the game, helping set a franchise record by hitting at least 3 home runs in 3 straight postseason games. The Yankees have hit 11 total home runs in their first 3 off playoff games, which is a new major league record. And the NLDS starts today on FS1. Yeah. Game one of Braves Marlins is at 1 p.m. Eastern.
Yeah.
And game one of Padres Dodgers is at 9 p.m. Eastern on FS1.
How about the Padres back in postseason baseball? My first job out of college was with the Padres, AAA affiliate. I think Walker Buehler goes for the Dodgers tonight. Dodgers are favored heavily, should be.
Yes, the Fox Bet has the Dodgers favored at minus 250 to win the series and the Braves at minus 300 to win the series.
Yeah.
So the Lakers are looking to bounce back tonight after dropping Game 3 to the Heat. And LeBron says he's staying as focused as possible heading into Game 4.
So the series is completed. I kind of stay on edge, stay locked in on the job at hand. And obviously no one wants to ever lose. You hate that feeling, especially when you know you didn't play your best. I definitely wasn't at my best last night from an individual standpoint.
He really didn't have a great game.
No, he was sloppy.
25 points, 10 rebounds, 8 assists, but he had 8 turnovers, yeah, which is a game high. Bam is still questionable. Goran is doubtful. He's not going to be back for the series.
They have a points issue. Unless Tyler Hero is incredibly hot, they have a points issue against the Lakers if the Lakers are focused.
Yes. I mean, obviously why Jimmy put up incredible numbers in game three. They kind of got a little bit of a pass there because we have so much sports going on, and I also think it's because they're playing the Heat, who are depleted, and Jimmy had such an amazing game when they all walked off the court like that. Had this been just the NBA Finals, I think there would have been a little bit more pushback on that situation.
Right.
So congratulations on getting a pass on that. It was not a good look. Like, none of us really talked about it because it's like, okay. But you can't be talking about it's over and, you know, acting the way that the rest of the team was. LeBron has been, as he said, very focused and locked in because he's been there before and he knows how quickly a series can get away from you if you get complacent, and he wants to go home. But they kind of got a pass on that walking off the court. It was a little bit much.
For the record, if you ever wanted to go to a restaurant in Los Angeles, but it's always crowded, tonight's the night to go because the Dodgers are on TV and the Lakers. So if there's a restaurant in Los Angeles
you'll never get into,
tonight you'll be able to get into the restaurant because very rarely does a city get a team in the finals and then a team favored starting in the National League divisional round. So,
actually, Miami has that too, but the Marlins are playing earlier.
All right, so Miami and L.A., crowded restaurants, a little more open tonight.
There we go.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
It was really great to see. I feel like I'm banging on coaches, and I'm really not. That's not my history. I tend to give the coach another year. But, in fact, I'll support Bill O'Brien later in the show. I don't know if any coach. I think they would have been 0-4 if Bill O'Brien had his act together. You open with the Steelers, you open with the Chiefs, you open with the Ravens. It's not exactly the easiest open for Bill O'Brien. But, boy, I'll tell you, when you watch Dallas and Mike Nolan in this situation, and then you watch Aaron Rodgers with Matt LaFleur, Matt looks so happy. The protection's better. The running game is better. They're going to be a tough, tough out. This is the happiest and the most protected Aaron's ever been, with the best running game. And it actually, this is the way everybody should end their career. Life gets a little easier. You've worked really hard. You've put all the time in. And instead of hobbling around getting whacked, Aaron looks comfortable and protected and happy. And Peter King now joins us. NBCSports.com. Brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing football morning in America. I got to tell you, this is, you know, the knock on Mike McCarthy in Green Bay was he doesn't establish running games. In Dallas, Zeke's not getting the ball. In Green Bay, Aaron Jones has never been more important, and it's hard for me to look at this, Peter, and not feel like this divorce, Aaron, a lot of his criticisms, he was right. He looks so comfortable to me right now. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I'd say the exact same thing. I mean, since Matt LaFleur walked in that door, the Green Bay Packers are 18-4. And one of the reasons they're that good over time is that Aaron Rodgers is happy. Aaron Rodgers is productive. Aaron Rodgers, who may have been a little bit angry, or maybe more than a little bit angry on draft night, has come into training camp this year being a don't worry, be happy guy. And basically saying, I'm going to take the Marquez Valdez Scantlings, and I'm going to take the Alan Lazards. And even when they get hurt, he gets hurt, Equanimeous St. Brown is here, and we're going to make him great. And that is why the Green Bay Packers, in my opinion, Aaron Rodgers being challenged, I think this has really been a good thing for him and a lot better than I thought it would be back in April.
Yeah, I still wish they would have taken a wide receiver in the second round. I always defended the Jordan Love move I can defend by an organization, but I do think they're about a wide receiver shy, and Devontae Adams does have a history of getting nicked up. So I was saying this about Cam Newton. Sometimes a person's value is most apparent when they don't go to work and you see how much you miss them. I'm watching New England last night, and I'm like, boy, Cam may have gotten himself a contract not playing because they had a tremendous game plan. I think with Cam, they would have given the Kansas City Chiefs fits. By the way, Belichick can be rough on Mahomes. Mahomes has not had good first halves against Belichick. I think when I look at New England now, Peter, I don't think Cam's a rental. I think he may have a little bit of a future in New England. Am I wrong here?
Well, you're not wrong, but how can we know that yet? You know, he's played three games. And so we just, you've got to see Cam Newton for a season or most of a season for the Patriots to be able to decide what they're going to do with him. And look, Bill Belichick, especially with the cap going down next year, from 198 this year to 175 next year, they weren't in great cap shape anyway. With the cap going down that much, he's not going to want to pay Cam Newton a jillion dollars. I don't know exactly what's going to happen there, but another one year deal would not surprise me in New England. But again, we've got to see Cam Newton play for at least half the season before you make any grandiose predictions about what you're going to do with him.
Listen, there's a lot of really good young coaches in the NFL. We all know Kyle Shanahan's very bright. I think Sean McDermott is exceptional. Encouraging signs with Matt Rhule, though it's early in Carolina. But, you know, I didn't know much about Kevin Stefanski. He'd always been in Minnesota. You know, Zimmer's defense stole the show. It wasn't about the offense. But I watched Cleveland, and in a wild-scoring Big 12 game against the Cowboys, Baker threw for 165 yards. They are managing him brilliantly. They have very quickly discovered he can be the off-speed pitch, the fastballs, the running game. I think if you're in Cleveland, Stefanski, the early signs to me, Peter, are really encouraging. Did you think it would work? What did you know about him going in?
I just knew that everybody who's been around him says he's a teacher. And, you know, his dad being the NBA general manager, Ed Stefanski, he knows the sports business. And I think as he grew up, playing football as he grew up, I think he understood the value of coaching and teaching. I think one of the things he has done in Cleveland that has really helped is that he's gotten Odell Beckham Jr. on his side. You know, the last couple of coaches in Cleveland, Odell's not sure about. You know, he hasn't really been sure about. And now Kevin Stefanski basically wants to get Odell involved in the first quarter every week because he knows not only is that good for Odell because he doesn't want a pouting Odell, he knows it's good for his team. And he only touched the ball seven times on Sunday, but they were incredibly valuable times, like his last touch of the game, the 50-yard touchdown run, which I was positive that Aldon Smith was going to cream him 12 yards behind the line of scrimmage, but he made it happen. And what I really, really like about that play call is that's the third reverse in that game that Kevin Stefanski called. The first one was what he calls on his play sheet, bananas. That left-handed pass, obviously, for the touchdown to Odell from Jarvis Landry. And then they called two more reverses. And Kevin Stefanski understands that even if the defense knows it might be coming, if they scheme it right, it can really work. And two of those three reverse plays in that game turned into Odell Beckham touchdowns.
So Justin Herbert, I think, shocked all of us. Being told 5 minutes out you're playing Patrick Mahomes, he was excellent. Against the Buccaneers defense and Todd Bowles, really good coordinator who will get another head job, he was mostly excellent. Do you think that puts a little pressure on Miami now for Tua? You had Ryan Fitzpatrick on your podcast the other day. Joey and I were talking about this. This is a very distracted market. The Marlins are in the playoffs. The Heat are in the finals. You got to engage Miami fans. They got aqua water, a beach, and a lot of options. And I do think stuff like that is considered. Is it Tua time, in your opinion, in Miami?
You know, the way I look at it is I believe that Ryan Fitzpatrick will start in San Francisco this week, and he really better play well. Because I think this season has been all about two things: winning as many games as possible and making sure that Tua Tagovailoa is capable and experienced on opening day 2021. And I think that is what is going through Brian Flores' head. He's not going to respond to any outside pressure. Hey, Burrow is playing great in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
And Herbert is playing just as well with the Chargers. I don't think he's going to respond to that pressure, but this, to me, is all in Ryan Fitzpatrick's hands. If he plays a great game Sunday in San Francisco, they're not going to make a quarterback change, at least not right now. But he's going to have to play very well to keep that job.
Listen, there is. I'm not a guy that calls for people to get fired. I think Bill O'Brien succeeded at Penn State post Jerry Sandusky, which I thought was next to impossible. He won, you know, he won a division with Brock Osweiler. So I think Bill can coach. I just don't think he's a great general manager, but I think he's a really good coach, and he'll get hired again. And I would hire him again for a lot of these jobs. But there are times that you watch a team and you think, this is bad and it's getting worse. Mike Nolan, linebacker coach, elevated to defensive coordinator, did not succeed as a head coach. When I've got players like DeMarcus Lawrence saying we're soft, it's too complicated, Jalen Smith has regressed badly. Peter, at some point, you know, I'm not a big fire in season, but how long do you let that thing go in a division where Philadelphia is only going to get healthier over the next 3 weeks?
The first thing that Mike McCarthy has to do, and I'm sure he's done, is basically do a self-scout on Mike Nolan's defense. If he thinks it's too complicated, I'm sure he's going to say to Nolan, we got to simplify this. But I think it's a little bit more complex than just pointing at one guy or another. The Cowboys have done a terrible job in stopping the run. So they got to figure out their correct gaps, and they've got to stop the run, or else all these great pass rushers really aren't going to matter. That's number one. But I think the bigger thing in Dallas is it's a new coaching staff, a lot of new ideas on this coaching staff right now. They're in a terrible division, and that's a huge advantage. I still think if I had to pick somebody today, as bad as they are so far, I'd pick Dallas to win that division. I think they're going to rebound. I think they'll play better. Now, they might win the division at 7-9, but I still think they're the best team in that division.
Peter King, Football Morning in America, NBCSports.com. Good seeing you, Peter. Appreciate you dropping by on a Tuesday.
Thank you, Colin.
You bet. Russell Wilson is the best quarterback in the league for now, not Patrick Mahomes. I'll tell you why after watching last night. That's coming up.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
RecTech, more than a grill, it's a lifestyle built by grillers for grillers. That's go to RecTech with a Q.com, RECTEQ.com. Smart grill technology, RecTech. Top of next hour, Herd hierarchy. First time this year, all 10 teams in the Herd hierarchy feel like playoff teams to me. Usually you got a couple at the end, you're not really sure. In fact, I think my 11th team, I won't tell you what it is till next hour, they feel like a playoff team to me. So it's, I do think when you watch games last night, you're starting to have some definitive opinions. I don't think there's going to be a lot of massive changes. You know, I keep hearing about the Cowboys are going to pop eventually. The schedule gets easier. You know, they're going to beat the Giants, and they're going to beat Washington, and they probably beat Arizona, because truth is, those are not good football teams right now. Arizona's got talent, but they're wildly inconsistent series to series. Kyler Murray's still a kid. But that doesn't mean you've solved your problems, because those are the teams Dallas has beaten for 3 years with Dak. The ones that are good, they can't beat. And that's kind of the difference between the haves and have-nots in the NFL. So, like, I understand everybody loving Patrick Mahomes. His family thought I was slow to embrace him. No, I wasn't. I'm not. Patrick's great. I love him. I think he's a great representation for the league. I think he's a wonderful kid. I really like him. But I do. The media tends to be younger now than it's ever been, because it's young media means cheap media, and it's more corporatized than ever. And they just fall in love with the newest player and the flash. And that Russell Wilson is better than Patrick Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is flashier. Patrick Mahomes has a better offensive coach, significantly better tight end, the fastest guy in the league at wide receiver, and a better offensive line. But how do I know he's better? Because the best coach in the NFL and the best defensive coach ever is Bill Belichick. Belichick cannot stop Russell Wilson. Faced him four times. Can't stop him. Russell's had one bad play against him. Just happened to be in a Super Bowl. Belichick's had all sorts of success against Mahomes. Both Mahomes and Russell Wilson have played Belichick this year. Okay, you watch the game. Russell Wilson carved him up. Not only five touchdowns, but he was throwing the ball over the top. These were big plays against Belichick's great defense, which never gives up big plays. When you watch this game, Russell against New England, nobody does this to New England. Nobody beats them over the top. You can slowly get yards on New England. They're the classic bend but don't break. Nobody beats them down the field like this, except Russell Wilson in the last 4 and 5 years. All of them are over the top throws. And again, this is what Belichick takes away from Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, Patrick Mahomes. He doesn't give those up. Mahomes last night had a couple of touchdown passes. Jet sweeps. Jet sweep. They don't even count as throws downfield. Mahomes struggled against him. And in fact, Mahomes has struggled the four times he's faced Belichick. Last night, AFC Championship game. Last year, he didn't score in that AFC Championship game in the first half. In fact, Mahomes against Belichick in four games in the first half, one touchdown, three picks, 58% completion percentage, and a 72 passer rating. That's a problem. And that's with a better offensive line easily than Russell Wilson. Much better tight end play. Much better wide receivers. And a brilliant offensive coach in Andy Reid. Mahomes struggles against Belichick in all four games early. He's off. He can't quite catch it. Then he goes in with Andy Reid at half, make a few adjustments, and then he comes back, and some he wins, some he loses. But when you watch those two go up against Bill Belichick, Russell comes into the game, and Bill's got no answers. And he's going deep down, and he beats Belichick the way nobody beats him. He goes right after Gilmore. He goes right over the top. That's the solution that nobody has for New England. This year, Russell, five TDs and a pick, 75% completion, 132 passer rating, with a defensive coach that we have criticized on this show, and so has Warren Sharp, so have the analytic mavens, saying, you know, Seattle really has a little bit of an outdated offense. Doesn't matter. Belichick can't stop it with Russell Wilson. Can't stop it. Wave the white flag. Give up. Can't stop it. Not saying Mahomes doesn't have more raw quarterback talent, isn't flashier, isn't great. But this minute in the NFL, if you're counting pre-snap, if you're counting playmaking, deep throw accuracy, experience, not getting hit, manipulating defenders, manipulating coverages, Russell Wilson's the best quarterback in the league, and he's the best football player in America, therefore in the world. Now, again, Josh Allen may have a better skill set. 6'6", rocket arm. Mahomes and Josh Allen, they're kind of like, you look at them and you're like, oh yeah, that's a silly arm. Like, Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes don't throw the ball like anybody else on the planet. It's just a laser beam. The other day, Josh Allen made a throw against the Raiders to Cole Beasley. It was a missile. It was like, Mahomes is the only guy in the league, maybe Aaron Rodgers, that makes that throw with that velocity. That's just not, and Russell doesn't do that. Russell's more the touch. You know, Russell's running around, keeping his eyes downfield. But look at what Belichick does against Mahomes early in games. He fools him, flummoxes him, drives him nuts. That's with Andy Reid. He can't do anything against Russell Wilson. In fact, Russell dictates terms. Russell goes, no, I'm going to go at Stephon Gilmore, and I'm going to go right at the thing that you never allow, deep balls. It's the only quarterback in the league. Bill, I'm going to go at your best corner. I'm going to go at the thing you never – I'm going to go right at you. And Belichick's playing defense. Belichick's on offense against Mahomes. He's making Patrick Mahomes uncomfortable. Russell Wilson makes Belichick uncomfortable. That is the difference. Herd hierarchy, hour two on a Tuesday. Big sports week coming up.